The passage that I'm going to be focusing on tonight is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And if you're getting this Bible, it's on page 1080. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. It's our custom here at Adventure to stand with the opening reading of the Word, so would you stand with me, please? Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. It says this, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you as we open your word tonight. Lord, I just ask that you move in this place, that your Holy Spirit fills this place as we sung about tonight. God, we just praise you for all the things that you're going to do and all the things that you've already done. I thank you, Father, for an opportunity to speak to your people. And Lord, I ask for your provision over this service tonight to guide us and direct us. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that you have to say. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The title of this message this week is Comprehending the Fullness of God. And we can do that as we see here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 18 specifically. It says, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, as is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, this is an amazing concept that I want to truly spend a little bit of time on. Together with all the saints, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18. If we look at deeper into this, and we look at all the places in the Bible where man or somebody was alone, like looking in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, as Adam is placed in the Garden of Eden, and God gives him dominion over all of the animals, and he starts bringing them up to man so that he may find a suitable helper. And he starts bringing all these animals in and gives him dominion and the opportunity to name these animals. You can see that Adam is having a good time at first because he starts naming these animals with multi-syllable names like rhinoceros. And he tries to outdo it and says hippopotamus. And then he sees a fish jumping in the water, and he says, you know what? I'm going to call that one the humahuma nukunukuapa'a, the Hawaiian state fish. 12 syllables in that one. But the further he goes along, I think the more bored he became with it, because then he just started going with single syllables, cow and pig and dog, and he got bored with it. But God said it's not good for man to walk in the garden alone. And he caused him to fall asleep, and he took a rib, and he created woman. And he created a helper, a helpmate, somebody that would go everywhere with Adam and help him so that he was never alone. Also, Jesus, when he gathered his disciples together and he would send them out, he'd send them out in pairs. But he said that where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there also, in Matthew 18, verses 20. When Paul, or Saul, who would become Paul, began his missionary tours, he didn't go out alone. He was always sent with a helpmate. He was sent with Barnabas at first. He was sent with Silas. He was sent with Timothy. He went on these missionary tours, never by himself, but together as one. The Bible, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 3, says that together with all the saints, we may be able to comprehend the fullness of God. If we're together with all the saints, then we can fully appreciate all the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit, in case you're not familiar with them, I put them up here on a slide, the next slide here. In Romans chapter 12, there's a list of encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. PG was speaking about the end of that chapter. This is just a little bit beforehand that it talks about all these gifts. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 specifically, starting at verse 4, it starts talking about these spiritual gifts of administration, discernment, healing, interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues or languages, prophecy, wisdom, the ability to become an apostle, a teacher, faith, helps, knowledge, miracles, and teachings. Ephesians, again, it talks about the different spectrums of ministry, of apostleship, of pastoring or shepherding, teaching, evangelism, and prophecy. And then in 1 Peter 4, talks about serving and teaching. These are several of the places in the Bible that speak heavily about this. But all of these roles are not meant for one person. They're meant for a community of people. And when we are together with all saints, we begin to accept or experience the fullness of God because everybody has different giftings. And when we come together and the multitude of those giftings are in one place, ministry starts to abound. That's incredible. That's an incredible privilege that we have as one member of one body. This made me laugh. I was looking at different cartoons, and 1 Corinthians 12, 4, as it talks about gifts, Paul writing a letter to Timothy says, "Dear Timothy, I'm sending under separate cover extra copies of the spiritual gifts inventory quiz for your church." How many of you guys have ever taken one of those spiritual gift inventories? Yeah. Each one of us is different. Each one of us has different giftings. God gifts each one of us individually for a specific task and purpose. And when we come together as one body with our individual gifts, together corporately, we can accomplish so much more because we begin to experience how wide and how high and how deep and how great and vast the love of God truly is. We also get to see all of the fruits of the Spirit. Pastor Jordan preached a sermon in the passage of Galatians this summer talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are these, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. I don't know about you, but the majority of the time, each of these is not present in my life. There are times where several are present, but I can hardly ever remember a time where each of these was present in my life. I think each one at a different time, maybe. But when we come together and we truly begin to understand what the love of God is and the spirit of or the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we're able to accomplish so much more because each one of us holds each other accountable and encourages and emboldens each other so that we're able to do so much more. Caleb standing up here talking about what he's stepping into, a fruitless ministry, a place where it's very, very difficult to see change. People change initially, but then they kind of weave back into the same old rut or get themselves sidetracked so easily because it's such an addiction. It's such a hardship. It's such a heavy burden to carry. But ministers like Caleb, ministers like the people that he's partnering with, step in and speak truth and life into this horrible chain-ridden and heavy burden that these people face. And he partners in the Spirit of God with others like him who have different giftings and different fruit so that they can accomplish a much greater accomplishment because of who he's with. So number one, when we're together with all the saints, we can comprehend the fullness of God. Number two, we begin to understand what love is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." That's a difficult passage to dig into. That's a difficult passage to truly get to the heart of. We know that God loved us so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that when people came to Jesus and said, "What do I have to do? What must I do to become a disciple?" He said that you must sell everything that you have and pick up your cross and follow me. The disciples themselves knew what they were getting themselves into. They knew that they were leaving a place where they could make money, that they could have wealth, they could have everything that they needed, for a place where ultimately they were going to give up their life for the cause. But they did it with joy, because the Spirit of God was in them in such a way that when they were together, they were far greater than when they were on their own. And they could have went off. They could have returned back to the ministry. They could have gone back to on their own and done things their own way. And they would have missed out on the blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's known as the love chapter. It says this. It says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres." Love never fails. How many of you guys know a love like that? How many of you guys walk in a love like that? If I'm honest, I have to say that I want so desperately to know this type of love, but I've never experienced this type of love. I love my family so much. I would give myself up for them without even thinking about it. But being patient sometimes is difficult. Being kind sometimes is difficult. Not being proud or not rude or self-seeking is difficult, because sometimes I want love and I don't want to really give love. Do you know what I'm saying? This love is something that can only be experienced when we are together, because at my weakness, somebody else is proven strong. And when we're all weak, God is proven strong. When I want to get truly browbeaten, honestly, as I read through Scripture, I always turn to the books of Paul, because he has a way of calling you out as you read through it. Even to the disciples. In Acts chapter 15, when they call the Jerusalem council and Paul returns back to Jerusalem to talk to the disciples, to meet with the disciples, to make sure that he is teaching what he should be teaching, he begins to notice that there is something that they are saying that they are not doing, and he calls Peter specifically out on it. And Paul does that throughout his writings to anybody who would read it honestly with an open heart. And he calls us at the things in which we lack, and says that if we lack them, if we come together as one body, we embolden each other, we live each other, and then and only then can we truly experience how great and how wide and how high and how deep the love of God truly is. That we can truly begin to comprehend. That we can truly begin to comprehend. So number one, when we're together with all the saints. Number two, when we understand what love is. And number three, when we work in the light. When we work in the light. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, walks up on a hillside and sits down and begins to teach. And this is what he says. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and place it under a bowl. Instead, they place it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When we want to experience the fullness of God, when we truly want to experience the fullness of God, God defines himself and says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And then Jesus calls us and says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so bright that people see your deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There are times where my light doesn't shine so bright. When I go through trials, when I go through tribulations, when I am in a difficult time, like the people in paradise who are losing their homes, like my friends who were murdered in Louisiana, like Dalton, who lost his dad. When we go through times and tribulations, we're not always going to shine so bright. But when we are together as a church, when we function as one body, when we begin to minister in the way that God truly created us to minister and gave us power to minister and gifted us to minister, we become the hands and feet of Christ. He's the head. He will always be the head. He will always lead. He will always direct. He will always empower those who are called by his name. The Old Testament says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear their prayers and I will heal their lands. I want to tell you that we are in a time where our land is broken. There are people around us that are broken. There are people around us who are dealing with tragedies and travesties that can only be explained, that can't be explained. But we have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ, to come together with our own unique individual gifts and combine them corporately to accomplish a far greater accomplishment that can only be described by being the body of Christ. To me, there is no greater honor. To me, there is no greater call. As we wrap up tonight, if you still have your Bible, I encourage you to open it up to that same page that we just read. We're going to read a little bit further down. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. It says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This, by far, is the greatest privilege that I have. Now, many of you who know me fairly well realize that I am terrified of public speaking, and I fought with God over my call. I argued like Moses argued, saying you have the wrong guy. Send somebody else. But I look at Paul, and I look at everything that he did and all of his writings. And if Paul, truly, I believe this wholeheartedly, that if Paul were to take one of those spiritual giftings tests that we talked about earlier, if he took one of those and he saw what he was strong at, he'd throw all of those away. And he'd look at what he was weakest at. And those would be the places in which he would serve. And this is the reason why. Because in his weakness, God's ultimate power and supreme knowledge and wisdom is shown more powerful than anything that we can experience, anything that we can have, anything that we can do. I know that I can't public speak. I know I'm terrified of it. But with God, all things are possible. And he emboldens those he calls. He doesn't call the people with those gifts. When we walk together, when we fight together, when we stand together, we can accomplish so much more than when we try and minister ourselves. I love this team. I love this church. I've only been here for a very short time, and I've met such great people. I get to work with an awesome team of ministers, with Jeff and with Pastor Jordan and PG and Pastor Dallas and Caleb and Jason and all the other people. It's a pleasure to be with like-minded people who are gifted differently than I am, that we can stand together and accomplish so much more because we're not doing it by ourselves. We're doing it in the power of God for a greater purpose and a greater call. And I am so privileged. I'm so privileged to stand amongst you, this church, and minister in a time of need, to stand in the gap and to embrace our call. Tonight as we close, I don't know, is PG back in here yet? He's back there, okay. I'm going to pray for us. I think the band is going to come. They're going to lead us in one more song. I don't know if PG has something that he'd like to say, but guys, I want you to take this very seriously as we go in. I started a little lighthearted because we were in a very deep place, but you have a unique gifting and a unique calling and purpose to your life. And maybe there's somebody in this place here tonight that needs your gifts. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that looks. I just understand the importance of coming together as one body to function and do what we're called to do together corporately, because that's how the body functions. We have different organs to accomplish different tasks. We have different needs and different purposes and different members so that we can do what it is that we're called to do. And so I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for a power and a blessing to fall upon you, that you understand your place in this body, that we can accomplish so much more. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this amazing privilege to come and speak to your people. God, I ask for your power to fall upon this place, that the callings and giftings that you've placed in each one of us, Father, might be magnified tenfold so that we can begin to accomplish and come together as one body and reach and minister and do the things that you've called us to do. God, what a privilege it is to stand here and magnify you at something that I shouldn't be able to do. It's all you, God. It's none of me. And I praise you for that. God, in this place tonight, I ask for your power to fall. I ask for your blessing to fall. I ask for your touch and your prodding in each heart in this place, that we come together and we do something amazing for this community that you've placed us in. God, I ask for your boldness. I ask for you to give us power to do the things that you're calling us to do, to come together and function as one. Guide us, direct us, embolden us, use us for your purposes tonight. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.